Community Matters, Saturdays, WBCK, anytime, battlecreekpodcast.com, made possible by Lakeview Ford Lincoln. Richard Pyatt with you. Speaking of Lakeview Ford, Vince Pavone joins us from Lakeview Ford. Talk a little bit about the status of EVs, among other things. Hi, Vince.
Boy, we have an interesting topic to cover today, don't we?
As we were discussing before we started, I think the folks are a little confused. I mean, there's a lot of opinions on both sides of this, but then there's also some interest in this and some people who are level-headed about it, I guess.
Well said, Richard. The EV market is alive and well, but it's only in pockets and it's only in a niche. I think that what happened was everybody saw the early adopters and they took their calculators out and thought that we would be a lot further along than we are. And we are continuing to see progress with people buying these products, in particular the Mach-E, since Ford put some new incentives on the great product, which is the Mach-E. And they did that in March, and we have basically sold the shelves off.
Okay.
And are down to one or two vehicles left. And it's been that success story told across the country. That's the good news. The bad news is Ford is losing tens of thousands of dollars selling these cars.
Sure. It's expensive technology, and not to mention the overall investment that Ford has made in this whole approach. And so each one of those cars carries that on its back, I guess you could say. But this is what happens when a new investment is being undertaken. I mean, is it fair to say that?
It is. And then there's the other story is that every Mach-E Ford sells, due to carbon credits, they can sell 11 F-150s.
Uh-huh.
So carbon credits are credits that are earned. Now, Tesla, for years and years, earned all these credits because they're selling electric vehicles. And they turned around and there was a whole market that they sold these credits to manufacturers in California and other states for their ability to be able to sell their ICE vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And those ICE credits that Ford earns allows them to sell more vehicles in California, Colorado, Connecticut, Maine, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, all these other states that have zero emission requirements. So there is a backstory in that carbon tax market is starting to dry up as people are using the adoption on these things going forward. And interestingly enough, those credits will be earned differently as we go forward. One Mach-E for 11 F-150s in 2 years turns into seven F-150s, mm-hmm. and 2 years turns into five F-150s. And then one of the things that everybody always asks us about is, tell us about hybrids, okay? What
yeah.
about hybrids? Why aren't we doing hybrids? Ford and Toyota and General Motors now have pivoted on the EV to embrace hybrids. Every model will have a hybrid. The problem with that is the hybrids aren't going to earn tax credits at the same rate. Actually, they wouldn't earn any tax credits up until this last revision by the EPA. Now they earn, I think it's 1.5 tax credits for every vehicle sold. So the tax credits on a hybrid are very minor compared to an electric vehicle.
Yeah, some folks probably feel that a hybrid is an interim step to the EV, the entire electric-powered vehicle. And so maybe that's a place where people feel comfortable for now.
Well, what the hybrid technology does is alleviates the range anxiety.
Yes.
Because right. they know they have the ability to put gas in the tank if for some reason the electric. Now, we also know that the electric car regenerates the electric battery in the car, but what it does is dispels any issues as regards to range anxiety.
Sure. Yeah, we know we can probably get where we're going, and if we aren't, we can pull over and fill the tank as opposed to charge the battery. But it is a lifestyle adjustment, maybe a cognitive adjustment that we have to make, isn't it, about gasoline and electric?
You know, it's very interesting because I went into the Ford headquarters 2 weeks ago and sat with Ford management, including Jim Farley, Andrew Frick, who runs the ICE program currently, and Marin Gaja, who runs the EV. And we sat down and had a frank conversation about where we are. And there has been so much political pushback from people who don't understand the technology, don't understand the relationships with China, don't understand the impact on the environment. There's just been so much negativity out there that we've slowed progress, and culturally, we've made this a political issue.
Yeah.
And because the government's so involved with incentives, the government incentives, that it's become a real hot potato. And one of the reasons that we haven't seen the growth, other than cold weather, range anxiety, some of these other things, is the political nature of the technology. So when you say we have to embrace it, we do have to embrace it from a regulatory standpoint. The new guidelines that the Biden administration came out with basically have slowed the growth of mandatory growth of the EVs to, I saw 54% in 2030 is going to look a lot like 52%. And it was going to be 66% adoption in 2032, mm-hmm. which is actually going to be 56%. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but 10% is huge in terms of how many vehicles. You know, our market's 17 million vehicles a year currently, up and down, depending on how the economy is. But it's 17 million vehicles. That's 1.7 million less EVs we'll be putting on the road in only 2032. 2032 is far away.
No, it isn't.
You know, and one of the things that came up in our meeting at Ford was, people think that if a Trump administration comes in, that that's going to solve all these problems. As much as I wanted to resist EVs, that's not going to solve the problem, because all the manufacturers have their product pipelines full for at least 10 years out. So if we were going to change on a dime and say, all right, we're going to re-embrace ICE and we're not going to embrace EVs at a 56% in 2032, they can't just stop their investments and move. Case in point is the Edge, which we currently are selling, and it was manufactured at Oakville in Canada. That was going to be a new EV that they were going to manufacture. It was going to be a three-row EV.
Yeah.
And they've basically, because of demand, paused that project. And they're going to begin getting ready for that project, that new vehicle, in the second quarter 2024, which is now. Ford looked at what it would look like to continue to make the Edge in that plant, and it wasn't cost effective for them any longer to do a changeover to continue to make Edge and then go and make that electric vehicle, delay 2 years.
Uh-huh.
It is virtually like moving Titanic to get these product lines switched. So the one thing that we did hear about when we were at the meeting is Ford is embracing a low-cost EV that will be less than $30,000, and that is high priority for the next iteration of their product. We're probably not going to see that for about 2 or 3 years, but that is something that they put on the fast track for the U.S. market.
Low cost EV. Yeah. So that is
oxymoron,
something,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and that's something we've learned right now, right? For example, the Mach-E, if you want to get it all fancied out, there's a price tag with that. And then as some of that has relented, as you pointed out, then things start to move a little bit. So it's a message, I guess. There's something to be learned there. There's a market for some who want a premium, you know, with all of those bells and whistles, but there's also a segment that would buy a more moderately priced version.
Yeah. Like I said, that's what we've seen. I mean, the Mach-E pricing right now is right around $450 to $500 a month. I mean, we were seeing it $700 to $800 a month,
yeah,
just, you know, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, and since they moved it to that price point, we're selling cars. And again, it goes back to, if I can get a $30,000 car that Ford can be profitable at between $300 and $400 a month, that's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's not sustainable to do a high end crossover vehicle at $500 a month that we're losing $10,000 or $15,000 a car.
Yeah, that's not going to last. Got it. So what was the overall mood or thought with Farley and his team as it relates to all of these complications in this area? Maybe complications is a strong
The overall move is that the EV adoption is happening, and customers are continuing to embrace the EV technology. It's just happening at a slower pace. Mm-hmm. And it's happening at a slower pace because of cost, and it's happening because of a slower pace because of charging networks, okay? Yeah. And that those two things are just slowing the pace of growth. In areas that they do have charging networks, like California, the growth is still exponential.
Yeah.
It's still, 25%, growth over year over year and continuing. So in states like Michigan and Wisconsin and New Jersey and Ohio, where you have winter and it affects the range of the battery, you're seeing a lot slower growth.
It's interesting you say that about the West Coast. I just picked up some friends at the airport yesterday who came back from Seattle and said, we weren't even home yet. We were riding in the car and they said, you would not believe every car there is a hybrid or an EV.
And by the way, that's primarily because of regulation in the state.
So what does this mean for Blue Oval and Marshall? Does this scale back, this step back a little bit affect that as far as we know?
That's just a great question. As we go forward, the battery technology has to be domestically produced. Okay, the Buy America Act that the Biden administration did, I think it was 2 years ago, said that in order to qualify, your content had to be 55% domestic content. Uh-huh. That goes up to 75% in 2029.
Wow.
So the only way we can do that is in the battery. Okay, whether it's in Marshall or Big Rapids or Detroit area, wherever it is. North Carolina has a big plant now for some old technology, but we absolutely have to have domestic content. The technology, which is a licensed technology of the wholly owned subsidiary in Marshall, is the best technology to provide us with longer range, low cost. And they call that the LFP technology, which is the lithium phosphate battery. And that plant will be the showcase for battery production in the United States. The only thing that's disconcerting is it went from 2,500 jobs to 1,700 jobs. And that only was a indicator of the slow growth. And then they're not going to need to manufacture as many batteries as quickly. Okay, but it does not reflect on their commitment to electric vehicles.
It's a reasonable question to wonder if this has an effect on that beyond what we've already known to be true. And the presumption is this will move forward. The building is going up, so we presume that they'll be making those LFPs there before long.
Well, you can say that definitively, and I hopefully we'll have somebody on the show next week who'll tell us we're wrong.
That could happen.
Ford is very confused about the acrimony in Marshall and Marshall Township. They thought they were making an investment in a community that was going to embrace positive economic impact, the good partner that they have been in other communities, in particular Tennessee and Kentucky, and they continue to be very confused at this reaction. I wasn't there for the ribbon cutting, so I don't know all the things that happened behind the scenes, but their goal was to be a good partner in Calhoun County and to provide opportunities for people to drive Ford electric vehicles in the country, and they wanted Marshall, Michigan to be the highlight and the beacon of hope for domestic production of batteries in the United States. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will get there. But as you say, the building is going up, but that could change.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. They're confused by the reaction, but everyone is just moving ahead with the plan until something might divert that. As you've said, that's possible, I suppose.
Well, yeah. And I have a meeting, as I do with Dave Boshears and I think a couple other dealers are on it once a month. I have our next meeting next week. They've hired a communications person. They want to be involved in with the Frank Center. They want to be involved with the zoo. They want to be involved with KCC. They want to be involved with the regional manufacturing out of BCU. They want to be involved in the community. They want to make an investment in this community. They talked about making an investment in the Fountain and Marshall. They've talked about many, many different things that they want to make Ford to be part of the fabric of the community. That speaks a lot about them. You know, they learned a lot of this from their dealers. You know, that was our model when we came to Battle Creek in 2010. You know, we mm-hmm. wanted to be part of the community. We wanted to be involved. And the Ford wants to do the same thing. But they write bigger checks, Richard.
That is true. You know, I want to go back to something you said previously. Amidst all the noise in all of this, the political noise and the resulting misunderstanding about the technology and so on, I wonder if you can expand on that a little bit. What is misunderstood and how do we right that?
Wow, that's a really good question. I spent a lot of time on that last fall when there was so much misinformation. The bottom line is that the Chinese have been ahead of the curve in a lot of the processing and a lot of the manufacturing of the batteries. The lithium phosphate battery is most of Tesla's batteries are manufactured in China, and that's the technology that they use. And instead of us importing batteries from China, Ford, you know, had a visionary leader in Jim Farley who said, listen, we don't want to buy from you. We want to manufacture. We're going to need to do that. But you have the technology that we're going to need because you've been doing this for a lot longer than us. So Ford licensed the technology to use to manufacture these batteries in Marshall. And they're a wholly owned subsidiary of Ford. So it's not a joint venture. It's not Chinese owned. Okay, this is a Ford-owned business that will be using Chinese technology to manufacture this facility. So at this facility, business is different. You know, Ford has different things that they license for people to make products in Europe, in Australia. I mean, this is a fairly common approach in business, but because of the, you know, and I don't want to call anybody out, but I mean, the whole issue with China is that gets clicks on websites and apps and gets people riled up, gets the Republican base riled up. Now, listen, I don't want the Chinese to dump a lot of $25,000 Chinese vehicles that they bring in through Mexico because of favorable trade policies and destroy our economy and make it uncompetitive for Ford and General Motors and Stellantis, which has a lot of growing pains with their announcements yesterday. I mean, a dumping of cheap vehicles and cheap technologies from the Chinese would be, BYD is the name of their brand, would be detrimental. Those are the kinds of fights that we need to fight. But whether we are able to use their technology or not, that is not a fight worth fighting. That's not something that we need to worry about as far as them coming and taking over our auto market. I mean, Trump said it, you know, the bloodbath was literally about the dumping of cheap electric vehicles into this country and acing out the U.S. Manufacturers.
Well, and if we just think about that and linger on that for a second, this is what we say we want. We want to buy American. And people sometimes will complain a little bit that it's hard to do that now, right? The global economy and all of that. So you've just articulated what the difference is. We get the technology and we build it here, or they'll do it and dump those cars here instead.
Exactly. It's funny because as we get older, you and I, yeah, I'm a lot older than you, but you've been around a little bit. And we can remember Buy American stickers on the back of bumpers back in Detroit in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, this has been the mantra, but back then they were basically trying to use their American nostalgia to hide up for the fact that the products they were selling were so bad. Okay, they were just awful. Yeah. Now we've closed the gap on quality, and we've closed the gap on styling and whatnot. We have darn good products, but you know, the financial markets are a whole different thing. This last UAW contract, you know, was very fruitful for the workers, and they had huge gains. There's not a union in China. They're not paying those workers and those laborers the same rates as we are here. Okay. Right, now, we definitely have a decided advantage because we're here, but, you know, how do you level the playing field from a labor standpoint, from a currency standpoint? The only way to really do it is to have some, you know, and I say this, and I'm not, you know, I guess we can talk at some other point, we can talk to guys running for Congress about tariffs and those kinds of things.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we know that there's unfavorable labor practices and unfavorable trade practices that have to be addressed.
Another complication in all of that.
Yes.
So there will be a new generation Mach-E and a new generation Lightning. Some of what I saw floating around on social media was, oh, well, you know, they're not going to make any more EVs at Ford for a year or two at least. But I don't think that's true if what you've described is the case, that there are sales.
That's not true at all. The demand continues to go up. The sales continue to go up. It's just like I said, it's in certain areas, it's more market driven than others.
Yeah.
But Ford is going to continue to make Mach-Es. There is a new iteration coming out next year, which from all intents and purposes, everything I've heard is going to be fantastic. The Lightning, actually, I did hear, came across the transom just before we went on air, was that they did come up with some new incentives on the Lightning to try and move some of those products. So they're ready to take that on. And if past is prologue, they're going to sell a lot of Lightnings in the next couple of months because they're going to get that lease and that payment to an affordable point. And people are going to love that product. And then as we go forward, the only thing that I see happening differently is that the new products are going to be delayed a little bit because some of those products are very expensive. The three-row Lincoln, the three-row Explorer version is a very expensive proposition. Mm-hmm. And it's going to, I mean, and they'll have to incentivize it to sell it, like what we've learned with Mach-E and what we've learned with Lightning going forward. So that will be delayed. And they will fast track a lower cost EV that will be attractive to the masses. And that will vet out some of the people who want to get into the market, but just think there's an affordability issue. And as we go forward, I think that you will see the three row will come on, and you will see a new Lightning, which probably will, with some of this technology and battery technology, will probably be less expensive than what we're putting out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no equivocation on Ford's part. They are committed to EVs, but what they've learned is that we're not adopting at the levels that we thought we were. By the way, it's an approach that we, as dealers, we thought probably was more reflective of the market. But again, I'm a dealer in a Midwest state. When you see, you know, every other car is a Tesla, or a Mach-E in California and Oregon, mm-hmm. and Washington. So we kind of live in a bubble.
Yeah, right. I guess if, who's the big dealer in LA, Galpin or something? He probably doesn't have enough EVs to meet the demand.
That's true. You know.
Well, we appreciate the update, and let's let time go on a little longer, and then we'll get another one.
Just from my personal perspective, I would say that I when this whole thing started, I, as a dealer who had been in the selling ICE vehicles for so long, you know, I did not see the market interest at a little Ford store in Battle Creek, Michigan. But, you know, they have reams of data. They survey the customer, they survey the market, and the data was telling us that there's a market for this, and we need to tap into this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I read some things that, you know, consideration of EVs has dropped a little bit, but it's still very high. I think it's still 60 to 65% of all new car buyers will consider an EV.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than half.
More than half. And it's dropped, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 points. And that's after so much negativity that's been thrown at these things over the last year or so. So and so Ford and the manufacturers do have the data that supports the fact that there is a market here. It's going to grow. It's just going to grow at a slower pace.
And that's where we'll leave it for now. Vince Pavone, Lakeview Ford, downtown Battle Creek. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Great to hear from you today, and we'll talk to you soon.